say good afternoon to all hands. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. The boatswain's mate of the watch has just piped officer's call, and the next pipe will be all hands to quarters for muster, which in my ships anyway happened every single day after the noon meal. My greetings go out to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, of which Stockholm is the capital. And in particular, to some people who may not be or may not know that they are Captain Joe's people. And those are the people who came to be with us on Sunday for the low tide celebration, which turned out to be much more than just a bunch of people coming and going out on the beach and getting dirty and wet. Although many children fulfilled the captain's commission, his wish and his desire and his command that that is what would happen. But I'm going to talk a little bit about that after I finish the greetings and after I finish the binnacle list. The binnacle list this week does not bring with it any sadness, but what it does bring with it is some continuing concerns about people, including my friend Lady Margaret, who was going to come with her partner and be with me out at Quarters B, out at Point Robinson Light Station, staying with me and her gentleman, Josh, is one of my Vietnam shipmates and is going to be on with me next week, and I will talk about that in just a minute. But Josh and Margaret went to a Coast Guard-related function, and they were exposed to someone who was carrying the virus, and they got pretty sick, and Margaret is still sick. All of the rest of Captain Joe's people who are recovering, who are moving splints off, who are following the instructions of both the captain and their medical practitioner and are getting better, all of you, as always, remain in the palm of my hand. And for those of you who are working your way through the death of a person who was your loved one, know that in particular, you remain close to my heart. Today is the 6th of June, and it is the 79th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of the Normandy coast, which was the final and most seminal event to mark the end of the Nazi regime in Europe. It's especially important to Coast Guard people because not only did we man many of the invasion craft that were the first ones on the beach on the 6th of June and the transports that transported them and many of the LSTs and LCIs, the larger landing craft that could make their transit across the Atlantic on their own, but we fulfilled the great commission that we have had as part of our unwritten charter since 1790, the plucking of the mariner from the sea before he shall die, before he shall drown. The book this week is not all about that. The title of the book is The Fighting Coast Guard. The subtitle is America's Maritime Guardians at War in the 20th Century. It is a collection of essays and articles, and it is edited by a Coast Guard auxiliarist by the name of Mark A. Snell. The foreword is by Admiral retired Thad Allen, who was our commandant 2-3 ago, and who I knew as a junior officer. There, in fact, there is a photograph of Admiral Allen when he was a lieutenant junior grade with sideburns that went all the way down. It looks like it almost went all the way down to his belt. Probably would not have passed any one of my personnel inspections. And in the acknowledgments is an acknowledgment of the contribution of Captain Robert Desch. Just to show how we are all interconnected, interrelated, not just in the Coast Guard, but in life. Captain Desch was a enlisted damage controlman under my command in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. And there is a photograph extant of my awarding, whether it was an advancement. Enlisted people are advanced. Officers are promoted. A little bit of military organizational arcana for you. At least that's true in the Coast Guard and in the Navy. I don't know about in the Marine Corps. So in this particular photograph shows me making some sort of award, and it may have been an advancement. It may have been some sort of other commendation. But the interesting thing about then Petty Officer Desch was that he then went on to become a Chief Petty Officer. And then he became an officer. And he worked his way all the way up through the officer promotion system to retire as a captain. Well done, Bravo Zulu, Captain Desch. And many thanks for your contribution to the Fighting Coast Guard. So I'm mentioning the Fighting Coast Guard book with the foreword by Admiral Allen and the photograph therein of Admiral Allen with sideburns far too long. I mention this because there is a section about D-Day, and there is a section about, first of all, the landings themselves and the Coast Guard command structure that was part of those landings. And then there is another section that talks about Rescue Flotilla 1. And Rescue Flotilla 1 was made up of a number of wooden 83-foot boats that were constructed especially for this purpose. And they had gasoline engines, Stirling Viking gasoline engines in them. Made them particularly vulnerable. But in those days, diesel engines were hard to come by, and they were used in other places. So these 83-foot wooden patrol boats all over the invasion, picking up as landing craft, were hit by shore batteries, picking up the survivors. It's a wonderful story, and it is in keeping with the line in our Coast Guard marching song. If you all listen carefully and you try to figure out what the words are, the last line is, the last two lines of the chorus are to fight and save or fight and die. We learn when we first go into the service, whether you are on your first day in boot camp or your first day as a cadet at the academy, the day that you take the first time you take that oath, the same oath, all of us took exactly the same one. And the first day that you take that oath, you almost certainly hear the expression, you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. And we spend a lot of time teaching cadets who then become officers and teaching seamen recruit who then become seamen and then work their way up through the rating structure to indeed come back. And it was always part of my command philosophy to do everything that I could to make sure that no matter how risky the mission, I brought back my crew and my ship, maybe a little battered, especially if the weather was really, really bad for whatever the mission was. But we all got home, crew and safe, and ship safe. So I recommend the Fighting Coast Guard. I have only read the parts of it that have to do with D-Day. And then I'm going to go into the parts of it later on that have to do with my war. I do not own it. I served in it. And there's a big section in there, of course, about the Vietnam War. So next week, I am going to have one of my Vietnam shipmates with me. And I hope that Captain O'Brien, who served as an enlisted Army soldier in Vietnam, will be here. And I hope that my Juris Doctor friend, Craig, who I call counselor, and who did not himself serve in the military, but served the and continues to serve the island community over and over and over again. The two enlisted hands, Josh, who was a radarman, and Truman, who was an intelligence specialist, get to make whatever comments they want to make about leadership, because Josh was at one end of the ship and I was at the other. XOs in our ships, executive officers, second in command, are entrusted by their captains with making sure that the mission is accomplished, the ship is kept clean, the crew is taken care of, and that was the instruction that was given to me by my captain. And that was the only XO tour that I ever served. And by the time my captain got me as his XO just before we sailed for Vietnam, I had already had two commands at sea myself. So he wasn't getting any virgin. And so Josh and Truman will get to give their reactions to the kind of leadership that they had. And counselor will get to give his thoughts and comments from the outside. My friendship with Josh, of course, began much, much later after we were both of us no longer in the service. And my friendship with Truman and the counselor, Captain O'Brien and the counselor, happened because of my living here on the island. But the privilege of friendship with the three of them far transcends anything that I can put back into those relationships. So I hope that all of you will listen to that program, because it's going to be far too short. It's going to be a good time, and I will be put in the position of possibly defending myself. I know that those of you who know me well will look forward to listening to that particular broadcast. And thanks to Captain Desch for his part in the fighting Coast Guard. It has a huge amount of information in it. It has a bibliography and it has an index. And those are things that are really important to me when I read a book of historical concern and historical import. I'm going to take us back now to the 1st of June. And the 1st of June was the third anniversary of Mary R. Wubol's death. I had taken on a commission. I had been asked by the Vashon Park District if I would do a tour of the Point Robinson Lighthouse for a group of people coming over from a nursing home over on the mainland. And at first, I was being the reluctant maiden and being reluctant to say I would do it. And then of course, I thought it through. And I thought that I could not honor Mary R.'s memory any better than to do something that would be a nice thing for a group of people who surely, many of them, widows and widowers themselves. But a bonus came with that particular commission, and that was this. When the group arrived, and the group was somewhat larger than what I had expected, I think there were maybe 25, many of them either with canes or walkers, and there was no place to sit down out there. Unless they wanted to sit on the ground, and then, of course, if you sit on the ground, you've got to get back up. Those of you who are a little bit challenged in the legs know what I may be talking about. So there were 25, maybe a few more than that, and they were all gathered around. I was standing up on the steps to the lighthouse and began my pontification, and I looked down, and there was a couple that I thought still lived on the island. I did not know that they had moved off island and that they had moved into this particular facility. And this particular couple were the exemplar of people who put back on a daily basis into the community in which they live. May and John both were involved in so many different activities for the good of the island community that I would use up all of my time that I have remaining in order to list them all. It'd be enough to say that there are few, if any, who have been more a part of the island in which they live than May and John. And I looked down at her and I said, May. And she said, Captain. And I said, how is it that you're in this group? And she said, John and I had moved off the island. Vashon Community Care is no longer there. We're not going to get me going on that one. And so we decided that it was time for us to have a little bit of help. May's wonderful smile told me that she was really happy with that decision. I had a chance afterwards, after we finished, and so I told a few stories about Point Robinson, about its significance to me. I talked a little bit about lighthouses in general and Point Robinson in particular, but I also talked about the emotional connection that I have with the place. And I talked a little bit about May and John. And then it turned out that there was another Vashonite who had been sort of in the back row. It was wonderful to have these people back. It was wonderful to have my decision to be with them that morning as part of my honoring Mary R's memory, because Point Robinson was such a special place to both of us. That's where we had her memorial service a year ago. And it was just a wonderful thing to have happen, to have these people that I had not seen, did not even know that they were no longer on the island, had not seen for some time. I thought that May and John had just gone dark, that they were no longer able to do anything, and the other Vashonites as well. So we all parted a little bit teary-eyed, and they moved on to the next event. And the next thing that was going to happen that day was that we were going to do the final meeting for the low tide celebration. I've headed that group up and that operation up for off and on for I guess 20 years now, and we had to stand it down because of the virus, and so this was the first year, and we had to reorganize, and we had some different people, and the whole thing was coming together in such a beautiful way. I just climb up in the captain's chair and I say, make it so. And all of these things happened by all of these wonderful people. So we had the last meeting on the 1st of June, and it was the meeting in which we actually laid out where all of the booths were going to be and cleaned up any Irish pennants. And then we spent some time just enjoying each other in the sunshine, sitting in on the picnic tables out at Point Robinson. There were some people who had come back who I thought were fully retired and no longer were either able or interested in being a part of the celebration. But when they realized that the operation was not under new management, that the that it was the same dictatorial and authoritarian commander that it had always, almost always had, at least after the first several years where we had other leadership, that they decided to come back. And so we were sitting at one of the picnic tables, and Raina and Jay, who it is they who had thought that maybe they were retired and really did not or were not able to do any more of this. And they came and sat down to me, and Raina pulled a box out of a bag. And in the box were some flowers. And then they pulled a photograph of Mary R. And they put it down next to the flowers. And so our meeting was as much one of memory and of stories and even a little bit of an attack on the midsection by the captain. But it was so good, and it was so kind, and it was so gracious, and it was so loving, that I knew that whatever happened on the day, which was Sunday the 4th, it was all going to be all right. Well, it was better than all right. It was a glorious day, and the only complaining that I got was, "Captain, can you not get the wind to die down a little bit?" Because before we had gotten the Manco down, we had a couple of tents that tumbled, and we had a couple of other minor things that got knocked over. Captains talked to God, of course. And my entreaties on this subject were not having any effect. So we dealt with a smart breeze, but the sun was shining. Mount Rainier was out in all of her glory. It was an absolutely beautiful day. I was down there at 8 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock, the field was completely wide open. And I just climbed up into the captain's chair, and I said, "Make it so." And all of a sudden, these tents kept rising, and all of these wonderful young people from the State Department of Natural Resources and from King County and from all over the island, the Nature Center, Dr. Perler and Maria from the Nature Center, they had recruited and had trained about 15 students from our high school here on the island to be the beach naturalists. And we had food service from the island. Three that I thought maybe they would be competing. What really happened was that they provided complimentary things. And as we tripped the breakers on the power supply once, then we figured out, they figured out amongst themselves how best to spread the paucity of electricity that we have in a 100-year-old building. I was concerned that there would not be enough people there to make it worth their while. But what really happened was that people kept coming, and they kept coming. They kept using the shuttle bus that we had put together to get them from where they had to park to get down to the event. They went out on the beach. They went to all of the booths. It was, I could not have had a better, first of all, a better group of people with whom to work. And secondly, a wonderful, wonderful program. So it turned out to be much more than just a bunch of kids going out and getting wet and dirty. It turned out to be people coming and being a part of just a wonderful event in which we advanced, not just incrementally, but we advanced the health of the Sound, Puget Sound, and the teaching of young people starting at 2. In fact, there were a number of children that were being carried in those little papoose things, And so they all got the full lecture on good beach behavior. And that's how we start them out. So that's how it went on Sunday. A couple of announcements. First of all, the magazine today is not really a magazine. The magazine today is really a wonderful publication that is put out by the Beachcomber, which is the island newspaper. It's called Destination Vashon. It is that price, which is so beloved of island people, it is free. And it fulfills the requirement that I have for anything. I always hope that I appear in any island publication. And in fact, I am in Destination Vashon. A little appropriate arrogance there. If you come on to the island and you go and you come on, you have to come on one of the ferries or you have to fly in. But if you come over on one of the ferries, go to the magazine and brochure rack that all of the ferries have and get your own copy of Destination Vashon. And if there are none there, send me a signal and I'll make sure that they get put there. But you can also stop in any realtor on the island and they will have a stack of these. And best of all, come on out to the Point Robinson on Sunday. Your captain will be giving tours out there unless I'm out of town. And I have a whole big stack of Destination Vashon out there, which in the middle, by the way, has a wonderful map. And it shows you where you can go find the bicycle in the tree. The so we've talked about what's going to happen next week on the 17th and 18th of June is the Vashon Garden Tour. The Garden Tour, you can learn more about it by going on to, and this is a website URL address, all one word, Vashon Center for the Arts. That's all one word. VashonCenterForTheArts.org. The Vashon Center for the Arts has sponsored the Garden Tour for years and years. And once again, I believe that this is the second one since the virus. It is a wonderful event, and I highly recommend that if you come on to the island on the 17th and 18th of June and you want to go out to Point Robinson, that is the one Sunday that I will not be giving tours because I will be up in the Upper Peninsula, or no, actually I'll be in Traverse City, Michigan for my return to the Upper Peninsula where I was the commander. And I've given that to you on your schedule, so if you're looking for me on the island during the garden tour, you are doomed to disappointment because I'm going to be someplace else. Those are the things that I have. I had a lot more stuff that I wanted to cover, but I really wanted to get to both D-Day and the event leading up to and then low tide celebration because it was of such significance to me. And because it's such a great story, and because it was not only did we do honor to Mary R., but also to all of the wonderful people with whom I have worked over the years in different events, but in particular the low tide who are no longer with us. So this is your Captain Joe. I am, as always, we are now up to the usual, far too quickly, two bells of the afternoon watch. 1,300 hours, and I am, as we never say goodbye, we say until we meet again. We're going to meet again right here when the bosun's mate of the watch pipes officers call. And I am, as always, your Captain Joe. You are all in the palm of my hand. I am, as always, your Captain Joe on station and watching properly.